You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have you ever wondered who the Mary was from Bloody Mary? If the Loch Ness Monster was real, or if Ouija boards actually worked? On each episode of the family-friendly Unspookable, we look at the histories and mysteries behind your favorite scary stories, myths, and urban legends to get the real stories behind the scares. Want to solve your next mystery? Find and follow Unspookable now wherever you get your podcasts.
Feel like who Art Ed?
I'm trying to spice it.
Who Art Ed? Mr. Wood Art Ed me.
Yeah. Either way, it's ambiguous. It works on art. So many levels.
I know.
That's off to a great start.
Welcome to Who Arted, where we explore visual arts in an audio medium. I'm your host, Kyle Wood. For today's mini episode, I'm going to start off with a little bit about Salvador Dali. Salvador Dali was an odd man. He was known for attention-grabbing stunts like driving a Rolls-Royce filled with hundreds of pounds of cauliflower. In 1936, he walked into an English diving shop to acquire a deep diving suit. When the store owner asked where he planned to be diving, Dali responded, "Into the subconscious of the human mind." If you're cringing at that, just wait. It gets worse. So, Dali and other surrealists were inspired by the latest psychological theories of Sigmund Freud, among others. Psychology was a new field in the early 20th century, and the notion that our conscious mind was just the tip of the iceberg left artists to imagine a new frontier with seemingly endless potential by tapping into the subconscious. The thing is, this was not a popular notion everywhere. England was not super into the avant-garde art movements, and, you know, in the run-up to World War II, just ideas were spreading a little less quickly throughout Europe. They had other things on their mind. So Dali came to be fitted for this diving suit. He wanted to make a spectacle of himself with a somewhat obvious visual metaphor to accompany his, I can only assume, muffled speech in a London gallery. Dali had earned top billing at the London International Surrealist Exhibition. This was quite an accomplishment when you consider other participants in the show included Marcel Duchamp, Man Ray, Merritt Oppenheim, and even Pablo Picasso. All eyes were on Dali as he stood before the crowd, sealed in the diving suit with a pool cue in one hand and two dogs on leashes in his other hand. Anyone who's done public speaking knows that it's always a bit of a performance, and as he spoke, Dali began to bobble and sway. While most in the crowd assumed these movements to be a part of his performance, in reality, he was running out of oxygen in the airtight suit. As he became weaker and the danger became apparent, people also became aware of a new problem. Nobody in the crowd really knew how the diving suit worked. Luckily, the other artists in attendance were skilled in creative problem solving and used the pool cue to pry open the helmet, giving Dali a much-needed breath of fresh air. While the 1936 diving suit incident was an extreme that nearly killed him, pushing his body to the limits was a regular part of Salvador Dali's artistic process. In order to access his subconscious, Dali would make it a habit to sit with a key in hand above a metal plate. As he drifted off to sleep, his hand would relax, causing the key to drop and hit the plate with the jarring sound of metal on metal. Dali found inspiration in this mixed state of waking slumber. I guess that's why his work had such an unusual, dreamlike quality. Now, just to share one last strange, surreal fact before wrapping this up. As I said, Salvador Dali was known for his unusual personal style as much as his unique artistic vision. He was particularly well known for his absurd cartoonish mustache. Yoko Ono, being an artist and art lover, wanted a unique piece, and she actually paid Dali $10,000 for a strand of his mustache that she wanted to keep in a nice ornamental box. He sent her a blade of grass instead because he couldn't resist the money, but he thought she might be a witch trying to curse him. I guess it's no surprise that Dali would have been prone to believe in the paranormal. Setting aside that he spent so much of his life massively sleep-deprived, which is terrible for one's physical and mental health, Salvador Dali was named after an older brother who had passed away in infancy. The famous artist was born 9 months after his brother of the same name had died, and his parents told him at a young age that he was the reincarnation of his brother. In 2017, I guess to figure out more of the Dali family tree, Salvador Dali's body was exhumed for a paternity test, and the coroner revealed that decades after his death, his mustache remained in all its glory. The paintings, much like his mustache, continue to astonish people. His most famous painting is The Persistence of Memory from 1931. That painting is surprisingly small, just 9.5 by 13 inches, slightly larger than the average sheet of paper, but it is one of the most widely recognized and referenced images of the Surrealist movement. For those who don't know it by name, you'll likely recognize the description, clocks melting in the desert. The melting clocks, much like the ambiguous figure in the middle of the composition, sort of reference metamorphosis, or a changing of different states of being. Things are in a state of flux. Ants crawl all over the clocks like fruit left to rot on the ground. The ants actually are said to be symbolic of decay in a lot of Dali's work. Dali referred to this piece describing time as a soft cheese, and yet, with all its absurdity, there are realistic elements drawn from the landscape of his home in Spain. There's an unsettling mix of real and absurd, which served as a device surrealist artists would use to call into question the rational world and whether things truly are as hard and fast as we might first perceive them to be. The clocks melt because even time, like all things, is relative and malleable.
This concludes this week's episode of Who Arted, part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. If you found this tolerable, please leave a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. You can find images of the work being discussed this week and every week on social media at Who Arted Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and of course on the website whoartedpodcast.com. Podcast done.